Blog Talk Radio.
Studios and another edition of the weekly video recap.
Enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another Thursday night edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your weekly three-hour get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. You guys, welcome to Thursday, August the 12th, and another edition of Hard Rockin' Sports. We're here live every Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right through about 9:30 for your listening pleasure. Guys, I hope you guys have had a great week. It's been a lot of fun around here. Hot, very hot. Lots of sports on the air right now. We have the Field of Dreams game on. We had some NFL inductions into the Hall of Fame. We had our very first football game last Thursday night while we were on the air. Lots of good baseball from the Yankees. Not so much from the Mets. We have a lot to get to tonight. We have a lot to talk to you about. But again, I'm glad you guys, I hope you guys have had a good week. It's been an interesting one for me. Lots to get to tonight. We'll talk a little about the Olympics. We have a new segment, thought up by our good friend, Jeff Towinski, and I'm going to bring it back tonight. And in fact, I'm going to make him a t-shirt. I'm coming up with a design for the, semi and not going to happen segment. So we're going to get that in tonight. I have five different things that I will ask Jeff whether it gets him semi or not, or make it not going to happen. So maybe Jeff will want to explain it. If he doesn't, no big deal. We'll let you guys figure it out and come up with your own thoughts on it. But we'll get through that. We'll talk about the Jets and the Giants. The Mets fall out of first. Hey, Leonard, what's up, my brother? Fly from Cuyahoga Lake. Good for you, Leonard. We'll talk. Is that the Field of Dreams, Leonard? You got your own Field of Dreams up there? But, yeah, so the Field of Dreams game is on. Kevin Costner's on the screen right now. I love stuff like this. We're going to talk a lot about baseball early on as the players come out of the cornfield. That's actually a very cool move right there. That was actually very cool. But you'll see it. Let's see, the Hall of Fame. We talked a little bit about that. Dusty Hill, bass player from ZZ Top, passes away. Kemba Martin. We'll talk about some bands and musicians who will or won't play for vaccinated or unvaccinated people. We'll get to that a little bit. We'll talk about Governor Mussolini resigns, thank God. They should have dragged him to the streets. Let's see. Alabama's number one in the first poll of the year, followed by Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. I think it's time to fix this, guys, because it's just getting to be the same four or six teams. We'll throw Georgia in there, so we'll get to some of that tonight. Let's see. Has technology and social media hurt learning an instrument? And I want to get to that a little bit tonight. as Gary Cole and Zach Britton say hello to Kevin Costner. Big baseball fan. Great baseball movies from Kevin Costner. We'll talk about that too tonight. We'll talk about Field of Dreams, the NFL, Dak Prescott getting an MRI. Yeah, I love it. Derek Carr wants to play till he's 45. Why do people keep stats in preseason practices? I don't get it. Again, we'll talk about Field of Dreams, the game, the significance, the movie, as much as we can. We'll do a lot of that early. We'll talk about the Jets and the Giants. And again, we'll do our new bit. Plenty to talk about. I'm sure we'll get to some more when Jeff pops up. He's there now, actually, and I'm going to bring him on. So, guys, I hope you had a great week. I look forward to the next few weeks. We've got a lot of football coming your way. We'll ramp it up. We'll do our September 9th. We'll do our NFL season show. We'll give out our predictions and pick our MVPs. So lots are coming up in the next few weeks. We all know this show revolves around the game of football, and it is starting to get hot. Baseball season is here, and we're getting ready for the stretch drive. The dog days of August will turn into the stretch drive of September, and Yankees are right there. The Mets need to win their division. They need to. Is that that's Menachino's kid there? I think that's Frankie Menachino. Anyway, lots to talk about. Let's get Jeff up and running, guys. Sit back, relax, and let us try to inform and entertain you right here at the Hard Rock and Sports Show. Jeff.
What's up, man? I'm doing a little research, last-minute research on something.
Okay. You want me to take you back off the screen for a minute, or you?
No. I got to get this off my chest. This is important.
Oh, wait. Let's start the season. Let's start the show off the right way. Let's get it back. Let's start the way we always start with Jeff. How was your week?
It was interesting in its own right for me also.
Okay. So let me ask you. I mean, I know you don't want to give out any details, but how's the house stuff going? Any better? Not good, I guess.
Nah. Listen, no office. I'm still living here.
Okay.
It is what it is. It is what it is. But I'm taking solace in other things at this point in time.
I got a piece of news for you. Can I give my piece of news before you take your solace in things?
Something is telling me no. By the look on that face.
This is a very I had my first shot this week.
Okay. Go ahead. How did it go?
Well, here's how it went. So my wife decided last week, I think I told you in the air, that she has to get the shot because of her job. So she pulled the Band-Aid right off. She got out of work that day and went straight down and got the shot at a local CVS. And everybody just assumed that I was going to do it, which I promised her I would. So, but I wasn't running to get it done. But so I said to her, if I'm going to do it, I want it to be on a Saturday. That way I have Sunday to relax and I can, you know, do my thing. And I got the shot. She got the shot on a Thursday, and she was messed up till probably Sunday or Monday.
Oh, my God.
Her arm hurt her. Everything was bothering her. Headaches.
What did she get, if you don't mind me?
She got the Pfizer.
Okay. That was the one that my wife got, and she's recommends. She says it's probably the better of the shots. But, okay. And you, same thing?
I went to a couple CVS pharmacies, and I was having a hard time getting an appointment or a walk-in. Oh, we only do. I walked into a place and the lady said, "Well, I'm sorry, we only do it till 3:00." I said, "Well, it's 2:20. What's the problem?" So I could tell right away she didn't want to do it. They just didn't want to do it. Well, if we, you know, we have enough for two more people, and we have appointments. We'd have to open up another one, and if we open up the other one, then the rest of it might go bad. So we were practically giving up, and we said there's a Walgreens cutting through town. Anyway, I stopped at the Walgreens. They said no problem. A little bit of paperwork things to take care of. I get the shot.
Isn't it wonderful, Walgreens? Nobody goes to any fucking Walgreens, wherever they are. Anything you need, you can go to Walgreens. They don't have anything.
Yeah.
Well, you'll probably get the shot a lot quicker there.
Yeah, so I walk in, literally nobody there. I about 10 minutes in, I fill out some papers. They take care of it. I walk out. I got to sit there for 10 minutes. I feel fine. You know, over the course of the next couple of hours, I got a little, I don't want to say sore, but my arm felt a little heavy. But it was fine. I felt great.
What day did you get it done?
This is Saturday, last Saturday.
Saturday, okay.
So I said, okay, again, it had to be Saturday. I wasn't going to do it because I was afraid I was going to be sick. So anyway, so Sunday morning, I get up. I have to go stand out and pick up my mother-in-law from my sister-in-law's. We do that. We drive back. I still feel good. About 2 o'clock, I sit on the couch, and Jeff, it was like the lights went out. I slept on and off from 2 in the afternoon until 4 o'clock the next morning. I felt like tossing, turning. I slept on the couch the entire time. Had no idea what time it was, jumping up out of my sleep in the middle of the night. Got up the next morning, don't know how I drove to Brooklyn, drove to work. And for about 2.5 hours, was crappy. And then all of a sudden, it was like somebody threw on a light switch, and I was fine. So I had
I got the Moderna.
Yep. So again, I got it. Again, people congratulating me, and I get it. Listen, and a lot of people are happy, and if they're happy, I'm happy. It doesn't affect me either way. You know what I mean?
Honestly, I'm going to be in your shoes soon.
Yep.
You know that I'm against the shot. I'm against the thoughts, the afterthoughts of the shot, not the shot itself.
No.
I'm not anti-vaccine.
Absolutely
we're
not.
We're all worried about the long-term effects of what we're getting.
Sure.
Because of how fast they put it together.
Correct.
If I thought it was going to be foolproof, I would have tried to get it already. But, I'm soon, probably by next week, I'm going to be saying the same thing you did. I went and I got it, and it is what it is. So I got to get it myself, or either that, or I'm going to have to go on my own time and get tested and then wear a mask at work, and just too much bullshit. They're going to make it harder and harder.
Yes,
and harder
that is exactly the case, Jeff. They are going to make it harder and harder for people to make their own decisions about it. It was already getting
they're
going to
make the decision for you.
Well, yeah.
It's just a matter of, when they said, okay, 60-year-olds can go now for the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
50-year-olds to go for the vaccine, 40-year-olds. So they're just going to be like, well, you can't go out to eat. You can't go here. You can't go there. You can't do this. You can't do that.
Oh, yeah. It's coming. It's already happening. And, there's not enough people willing to stand up for it. Like I said, if it wasn't for my wife or wasn't for me making the promise, I still wouldn't be doing it. But I don't regret doing it. I don't have a problem doing it. If it makes other people feel better, I'm all for it. But it is what it is. So I just want to get my story out there, and I don't feel like a hypocrite. I feel like I've never been anti-vax. I just wanted to know more.
No, but listen, you can't feel hypocritical. It's a vaccine that last year at this time was still in talks.
Sure.
Okay, and now half the country has it. Nobody knows. I'm not going to say something stupid because some of the people are just retarded. Oh, there's tracking devices in it.
That's true.
You carry a fucking smartphone with you. You're going to worry. You really think they're going to inject you with this thing and track you where you go. You got to be insane.
Yeah.
You have
Easy Pass. You got smartphones. You have internet connections on your computers.
Car in your car.
Yeah. I mean, if you really want to be tracked, there's a million ways other than to stick a needle in your arm. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I just was always leery until, I know Pfizer is supposed to, the FDA is supposed to be coming out at some point and putting a stamp of approval on the Pfizer. So.
Well, listen, you know what, dude? People are worried about the short-term after effects. Like, I got the shot and then this, that, and the other thing. And you got every right to.
Absolutely.
You got every right to. All right? We could eat a Big Mac tomorrow for lunch and choke on it.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to worry about those short-term effects. Mm-hmm. And the long-term effects of that Big Mac may end up being worse than the fucking vaccine that we're taking now.
Absolutely. No doubt. Yeah.
I'm not happy about it, but they're also painting every day more of a doomsday scenario. Like now, I was just watching TV downstairs before I came up for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Lester Holt was interviewing Fauci.
Okay.
Which, believe me, I'm not listening to Fauci.
Yeah.
By this point in time, I don't even know why this guy's even on TV.
Yeah, Fauci's a moron. If you have to realize Fauci is a complete moron and just a shill for the pharmaceuticals, but that's okay.
Yeah. The question they asked him that was a very scary thought. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just another way to get people vaccinated, I feel. But it's just like you're really doing it kind of fucked up now.
Yep.
They said, what happens? Is there a chance that the vaccine is going to be rendered useless because not enough people are getting it? And of course, he's like, well, that is a distinct possibility. We're not really worried about that right now, but it is something that could happen. So in other words, what you're telling us is that this vaccine, you got it, my wife got it, your wife got it, other people we know got it, could end up being totally, totally, totally useless for the entire, everybody that got it, everybody that's being told to get it, if not everybody gets it. That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Meanwhile, he was telling us last year that what we had to do is, you know, get to 70% herd immunity and this would go away and did the vac. You know, listen, like I said, Tony Fauci's a moron. Bottom line, I'm sorry to say the guy's a moron, and anybody who pays attention to him, you know, isn't watching what he's really – the guy's changed tunes better, more than you change your underwear.
Yeah, listen, he would have been better off just coming on and saying – and just being honest and say, listen, we have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I agree.
They're learning about this on the fly. They're learning about this as I'm talking to you right now, what I said to you 30 seconds ago may be obsolete by tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Okay. What we're doing is giving you the most up-to-date news that we could possibly give you for what we know at the moment.
Yeah.
That's the best that I can tell you, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay. We hope to have more information.
And I would respect it. I would respect it.
We have no choice but to respect
it. Absolutely.
If they're coming out and they're saying, listen, we don't know. We don't know.
Yeah.
We know more about cancer right now than we know about this.
Yeah, I mean, again, I would have respected it, but the last year was you don't need masks, don't wear masks, don't help. Dennis, you got to wear a mask. You know, and I wear the neck scarf, and what is that doing? When you deal with stuff like asbestos and lead, they put you in full-face respirators. This thing is a microbe, and you're wearing these dust masks. You absolutely think that any of that is helping? It's not. Of course it's not stopping it.
It's not. You know, one of the best memes that have come out of all of this was a two-parter. All right? It was two pictures on one meme. It was a guy in his underwear on the top, like a pair of tidy whities. And it says, if this won't stop a fart, and then there was the guy with the mask, how is this going to stop a virus? And it's 100% true, because when you're wearing those tidy whities, you know, I guess, yeah, of course, depends on what you eat, but when you powerhouse one and you wear a pair of sweatpants or dungarees or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got to work its way through, and it does.
Yeah.
It does.
No, no doubt.
And
no.
Sometimes you fill a room.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show you, you know, the power of what you're talking about here. And like you said, when you go to breathe, it's a microbe.
Yeah, come on. It's ridiculous, but listen. It is what it is, and I did it for my wife, and ultimately I did it to make a lot of people happy in my life, and that's fine. Again, I don't think the shot is harmful that I know of. It is what it is, and you know we'll move on. But you know, again, I'm not anti-vaccine, and I'm not telling, and I certainly don't want to tell people you have to go do it. That's the one thing that's bothering me. This whole thing, is people telling people you have to get it, and you know,
Everybody should. I mean, there's guys I work with that were like, I ain't getting this vaccine. And I don't blame them. And I felt the same way. And I was one of them. Okay. And then all of a sudden, there's this mandate that dickhead, de Blasio, put out.
Yeah.
So I've talked to a couple of these guys, you know, off to the side when there was nobody around. And I'm like, let me ask, because I want to see what they say.
Yeah.
And then, not that I'm living my life by them. I just haven't.
Oh, you want to get other people's take on it?
I haven't worked up the nerves to go get it yet.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, I asked this one guy, I was like, are you going to go get it? And he's like, you know, chances are I would have gotten it already if it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for that. Another guy said the same thing. He said, chances are I would have gotten it already if they didn't force me to get it. If they weren't forcing me to go get it, I would have gotten it.
Right.
So it's like, so then why are you saying this? Why are you saying they force you to pay tolls? They force you to pay tax?
Yeah.
Just, this is part of life. Unfortunately, it sucks. the thing that bothers me is that of all people in the world that are telling me to get it, it's fucking Bill de Blasio.
Oh, please. That's
what gets me.
We're going to get off to your politics end of this real quick. I want to talk him some baseball, but scary part is now that your boy Mussolini Cuomo has been thrown out of his tower.
Wait, hold on a second. No, he hasn't yet. He's still got 2 weeks.
But again, he's gone. He's resigned. But now I see,
last time he spent 2 weeks.
Your boy de Blasio is starting to sniff. He's going to run for governor, and you're going to be stuck with that moron.
He stands about as much chance of running for governor as I do is getting out of this fucking shot, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Okay? He will never in a million years get the unions behind him.
I don't know. He got him the first two times.
He got him the first two times as mayor.
Yeah.
Okay? Just a few days ago, he did not sign the early retirement package. He ain't getting anybody that works for the city. Nobody. He ain't going to get anything because everybody knows that he fucked everybody with that. He ain't getting any unions. He didn't do the right thing for anybody. They're not going to stand behind him. He ain't going to win. When he was running for president, I think he got 3 votes.
He's got to vote for himself. He didn't vote for himself.
Yeah, it was him and his wife and his daughter.
Yeah. Well, listen.
I don't see it.
Listen, I hope not. I hope he goes away. I hope your boy Biden disappears soon. He's wrecking this country, but that's, again, we're going to get off the politics and start talking about some
things. This guy is beyond borrowed time, Biden. What the fuck is going on with him?
Oh, my God.
When we were calling this, we figured he'd be gone already.
Yeah.
He ain't going anywhere.
Well, right now, they're propping him up. First off, they know that the country hates Kamala Harris. I mean, nobody likes this woman. And why they chose her to run with him, I'll still never figure it out. But nobody likes her. She's done a terrible job. They're scared to death of 2024 because Biden's never going to be able to run again, and everybody hates her. So they're going to keep him. Huh?
Going to be a one term president.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt. Not
a
question.
Doesn't stand a chance.
Exactly. So to me, hopefully DeSantis runs and we call it a day. But that's for 2 years from now, and we'll deal with all that. But it's a shame that we've dropped downhill on immigration, on energy, inflation's up. It's just, it's frightening. It's frightening with this. And then now they try to stick $3 trillion in for half the stuff for the leftist pork shit. I can go on for hours with this, but I'm not going to. We're talking about the Field of Dreams, Jeff. But you just said you were doing research before the show. What was your research for?
Oh, my research, yes. It's about the New York Giants.
Oh, boy. I want to hold the Giants. We have to do Giants now. I was going to do baseball.
Well, we could do it real quick, but you just made real quick. You just made mention of Dak Prescott.
Yes, and his MRI.
What exactly, please? He had an MRI.
Yes, of his shoulder.
His shoulder. Whenever a Cowboys quarterback has any kind of shoulder issue, that same exact year, the New York Giants have tanked.
That's how you play this? That's how you play this?
Historically.
You did your research?
And yes, I did my research, and the Cowboys have won the division each and every single time.
That's what you're going with.
This was
your research you did before the show.
This is the crystal clear. Google it yourself.
Let's talk some baseball. Have you ever watched the movie Field of Dreams?
Yes, I have.
Are you a fan of the movie Field of Dreams?
It's been so long since I've seen it.
Oh.
I'm going to say that I did see it, and I remember parts of it. And I remember it being somewhat of a cool movie. I do remember the players coming out of the cornfield, which was a very nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I did see you and Frank Jeffrey going back and forth a little bit.
Yes.
Okay. And I like the idea of it. I think it's something cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something maybe they should do every year as like a 4th of July thing or Memorial Day thing.
I agree with
something
that.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea that the New York Yankees are in it against the White Sox, two older historic teams.
Well, there's a significance behind it.
Well, you could get to that in a minute.
Okay.
I'm just saying that I wouldn't want to see the first one like the Devil Rays and the Orioles.
Yes, I got you. Yes, I agree.
There's two older teams, maybe the Tigers or the Red Sox. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all the Pirates. So you could get into the historical significance. But I hope that they have the players come out, and I wish they would have them come out of the cornfield.
They did. They came out of the cornfield.
As a whole team or as they were announced?
Whole team. Whole team came out.
Oh, I would like to see maybe the lineup come out and then the other.
Well, I don't know if it was. I'm pretty sure it was the whole team. The whole team, little by little, came out. It was very nice.
They did it like that?
Yeah. A couple guys at a time. It wasn't like the whole, it was kind of dribs and drabs. Correct, exactly, yeah. So I thought they did a nice job. I don't have the volume on, but I have the game on, so I'm watching it. But, yeah, I thought the historical significance, and I'll get my dad on in a second, of having the White Sox, obviously, the movie's based around, a little bit around Shoeless Joe Jackson and the White Sox and the scandal. And we're going to talk a lot about this in the next few minutes. Some people online were talking about whether this should trigger this should kind of trigger a chance to go out there and try to push for Shoeless Joe, his ban to be lifted, which I have a definite thought process on.
It's 102 years. Is there even anybody alive at this point in time that watched Shoeless Joe Jackson play in a Major League Baseball game?
No, but I'll give you. But the historical, so that's why the White Sox here, and I think it's a good one. And now Frankie's correct. It, you know, maybe it could be the Reds because the Reds were the World Series that year against the White Sox. It was all part of it. But Field of Dreams wasn't about the World Series. Field of Dreams was about reuniting. And if you remember the movie, which I'm sure you don't because you haven't watched in a while, Kevin Costner's his character was Ray Kinsella. His father, John, when he emerges, is wearing a New York or a Yankee uniform. So there is a little bit of a historic of having the Yankees. Now, I would have had the Yankees at the home team and the pinstripes here is the one thing I would knock on this. But, again, small knock, not a big deal. good job, Mike, getting the bed. So, but again, I think this is fun. I would like to see this every year, Jeff. Kind of like hockey does the outside game.
Yeah,
I think they do that every New Year's Day. I agree. I think it should be the Memorial Day. Could be opening day. Maybe it's too cold in Iowa in April, but yeah, 4th of July. Have a, you know, I don't know if you do a series here, but maybe do like they're doing tonight, a Thursday game, and then they move on to the regular games in another day. So I am a big fan of this. I want to get my dad on one thing.
I didn't like is they said that they were looking or that it opens up the possibility of more movie-themed sports events.
Yeah, you know, people take this stuff. But you know what the problem, Jeff, is? You know, somebody mentioned it today, and I think it was a great thing. You know, baseball is the only sport where this works. You know, nobody cares about the 1953 Packers-Bears game. You know what I mean? Not even Packers.
It never happened.
Well, sure. Happened. Why not?
Because football did not happen. Yeah. The Super Bowl.
Well, that's the point. So
they put all of the football records, everything that happened before that, they put it in a box. They stuck it in the attic behind the Christmas decorations, and it's never been touched again.
I agree with you.
Finding grandma's love letters from World War II.
I'll agree with you 100%. You know what, Jeff? But I'll even tell you that I'm starting to think a lot of the 70s Super Bowls never happened because when you watch the NFL Network, a lot of these ESPN classics now, everything is 80s or higher. And even the 80s stuff is starting to creep away. So,
I think they're targeting a specific audience.
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely.
You know, nobody gives a shit about – and listen to some of the stuff they're missing. But they're never going to care about Lynn Swann and – Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, it's on the fade. Absolutely, and I think that's a mistake. But baseball is the one sport where we still talk about Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb and Lou Gehrig and Mickey Mantle. You know, we still talk about, you know, the 56 World Series with Don Larson's perfect game. You know, baseball is the one sport where you can do this. So, yeah, could there be more themed, you know, events around this? Sure. I mean, why not? I mean, but
what do they do next? Cool Runnings with the Jamaican bobsled team?
Yeah, I don't know,
you know,
Jeff.
What I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
This is one that I could see worked.
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, I agree. I think the only other one that I could see, because the hockey does the outdoor thing, but, you know, like if they try to do something around like the 80 Olympics.
I got it.
So, I mean, to me, you know, there's it's hard to pull off, but it works for baseball. Let's get my dad on.
As far as based on the 80 Olympics, every fucking time, okay, and now I'm glad you brought that up because every time that a team or an athlete from the United States steps into the Olympic thing, they should be watched. They should be mandated to watch that 1980 video of the United States taking on Russia.
Absolutely.
And what happened and how they did it.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I think if you're going to play for our country, you should have to watch that series, the movie about it, whatever documentaries. You should know everything Hearts Are, because that's what sports is all about. And let's get right down. Let's see what he has to say about the game, and check it out. What's up, Pop?
What's up, Cash? Hey,
what's going on, Dad?
Good. I was just listening to you. I read a book on Shoeless Joe Jackson and what happened back at that time. And what happened was Kaminsky, who owned Chicago at the time, promised them a big raise if they got to the World Series. When they got to the World Series, he gave them nothing.
Right.
And this is where they went in for the, then somebody for Arnold Rothstein or whoever it was.
Yeah, there was different gamblers and different people, sure.
Yeah, there was definitely that, and they admitted it. They did it because he screwed them out of money. And he was one of the biggest racists around. He was one of the few teams left between him and Boston on letting blacks into baseball. But that was one of the main reasons why. I'm watching the game, and look, the field looks beautiful, and the pitcher, I'm not really that into, this imaginary stuff, but it was really, really nice. I thought Kevin Costner did a good job.
Yeah, and Kevin Costner.
I didn't know what a lot of the significance was to it, with him with his father, and but it was a very good movie. I thought it was good.
Yeah, listen, I love the movie, and I love what they've done with this, with the fields and the theme behind this. I think it's a lot of fun. Jeff, I don't know, they're not a big baseball fan, but stuff like this, it brings back the nostalgia of it all, the old-time uniforms. I think it's pretty cool.
I think that's really cool that they made them wear the old-time uniforms.
Yeah.
That's really
now, cool. Again, here's my only problem, the Yankee uniform. The Yankee uniform, they get the old-time, they have the old-time numbers and that, and they got the Nike swoosh on it.
Yeah,
I mean,
come
on. I mean, you couldn't get one game without Nike on. Nike did not have uniform. They had stuff on people's uniforms in 1919. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yes, but you know what? Right now, there's for everything that you're saying, there's God knows how many people are online right now on the computer trying to buy this stuff. So they need to know that they could go to the Nike website or whatever it is to get it. You know that.
No, I know. I know, Pop. But, it's sad.
Tommy, the White Sox uniform looks more like that time. The Yankee uniform is, it looks
well,
crappy.
No, if you look at the hat is pretty good. It's got the thicker NY. The numbers are different in the back. It's not perfect, but, Take the swoosh off it, and you make me feel better. But that's okay.
Well, it's the money too.
It's all about the money. It's all about the money, Pops. That's the sad part. But listen, I think Field of Dreams is a of all the baseball movies. I think Kevin Costner, of the three he did, two of them were great. Bull Durham, and of course Field of Dreams. I thought were great movies. For Love of the Game was good. It wasn't great, but it was really good. But do you have a favorite baseball movie, Pop?
Yeah, Angels in the Outfield.
The original
one, though.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah, not the one later on. I thought that was – it was at the time it was really good because that the manager reminded me of, Casey Stengel.
Yes.
The gruffy type, the guy that you figure to be a manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was very, very nice.
What about you, Jeff?
I'm going to watch the game.
Okay, Pop, go watch the game.
I hope you guys are going to be able to see the whole game and enjoy it. And nice talking to you, and have a good day. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, Pops, I'll see you over the weekend.
Okay. Okie doke.
See you later, Mr. Borum.
That's my dad. He checks in every week with us. It's always a lot of fun to have him on the air. Jeff, you have a favorite baseball movie?
No? Not really. I mean, the one with Kevin Costner. Field of Dreams is probably the most famous of them. I mean, I've seen it, but honestly, I don't watch that many movies as it is.
Yeah.
And if I was going to watch a movie, it would probably have to be a real good one to get me involved to watch it about baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I remember, the one about Field of Dreams was done pretty good. Wasn't that kind of geared towards kids? a little bit, or is that
Field of Dreams? No, not really. No, I mean, the problem with Field of Dreams is not even a problem, but Field of Dreams is a baseball movie that's really the outside shell of it. The core of the movie is about having something you wanted to say to somebody and not being able to say it. The whole idea of the movie is bringing back his father so he can have a catch with his father. His big regret in life was, after 12 years old, I stopped having a catch with my father. I refused. So in the middle of the movie, he's driving with James Earl Jones, and he says, what 12-year-old kid doesn't want to have a play catch with his father? So his big regret. So the whole movie is about he builds the fields. Shoeless Joe comes. They start playing games. They start bringing other players. And his dad shows up, 50 years before he was his father or whatever it was. And he has a catch with his dad. And it's about making amends and being able to say, I'm sorry, or right the wrongs. And the movie is a great movie. It's a powerful movie. It's funny. It's got a lot of ups and downs in it. And, like Kevin Costner said today, there's no crashes. Nobody dies. Nobody gets shot. It's just a simple family movie. But I don't think it's getting
it. Shoeless Joe Jackson, I believe.
Yeah, right? People pick on it. Ray Liotta was batting right-handed. He talked like he was from New York. Something like that. It's important. See, to me, if it was Shoeless Joe Jackson's biography, that would irk the shit out of me. But because
listen, at least let the guy bat. If the Shoeless Joe Jackson batted left-handed, let the guy bat left-handed.
Yeah, I got it. And you're right. You're 100% right. I would have found a guy who could play the part who's a little more like the Shoeless Joe Jackson. I don't think you've ever seen the movie 8 Men Out, which is a great movie. It's about the whole World Series and the scandal. If you ever get a night, it's a really good movie, and it's a little long, but it's a good one. But DB,
if they knew to fucking film it another way with Gary Cooper,
yes,
or the Lou Gehrig movie, I'm sure they could have fucking made Ray Liotta bat left-handed somehow.
Yeah, I'm sure. I agree with that. Yeah, 100%, 100%. But let's get back to the Shoeless Joe part of it, Jeff. I think first of all, you're 100% right. There aren't enough people nowadays who even care if Shoeless Joe gets the ban lifted. And I don't know why you would lift his and not the rest of the guys. He took the money. He might have played well.
I thought he was the one that was innocent out of all.
No, the one guy who was innocent in the sense was Buck Weaver, the third baseman. Buck Weaver went to the meetings and told them, absolutely not, I don't throw baseball games. But Buck Weaver got banned because what Kennesaw Mountain Landis, the first commissioner of baseball, said was, if you consorted with gamblers, if you consorted with guys who threw it, if you knew about it and didn't tell anybody, whether you threw the game or not, you're just as guilty. So that's why Buck Weaver got thrown out. But the rest of them, they were as guilty as hell. They all took the money. He played really well, but Joe Jackson said in interviews later on that he made every play in front of him because he didn't want to look stupid. But if a play was, one of those where you had to kind of hustle a little bit, he didn't hustle as much. More triples were hit his side of the field in that series, I think, than any in history, because he just, kind of loafed it. So,
yeah.
But Jeff, would I care if they lifted it? No. Who would at this point? And I think it's different. See, here's the question: people say, well, if you're gonna lift it for him, you have to lift Pete Rose's, and I think it's two different things.
Yeah.
Pete Rose bet on baseball, and betting on baseball is legal now. Like, you can bet on baseball now. Are there any restrictions for players? Can you if you're a baseball player, can you bet on any baseball game? Can you not bet on baseball at all? I'm sure you can bet on football games.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're fucking some of the betting apps. How are they going to know who it even is
yeah,
this point in time? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I got it.
You, I'm the baseball player. I can have you open up an account in your name and give you the money.
Yeah, exactly.
I could be gambling up a fucking storm. But
we were talking about today at work, and I brought up, well, what if I know you don't deal with like DraftKings and all those things, but you can go on there and weekly get yourself a fantasy team, and you join one of those little quick leagues, and for $9 you can win hundreds of dollars. I've never done those, but you know, you can do multiple teams and you can do all this crazy stuff. And I said, well, what's to prevent a guy from hooking up with a fantasy team that's for money, being up in a game and it's late and saying, hey, the guy I'm covering, I got him. Let me let him catch a touchdown late. It ain't going to matter. You know, there's all sorts of crazy stuff. You got to hope it doesn't happen. But so, again, Julius Joe Jackson should be banned. I think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, just never to be allowed to work in baseball. Again, the guy's 100 years old. He's not going to anyway.
Pete Rose.
Yes.
Pete Rose is never going to see an end to this. And
no, he'll die before he gets in. Yeah. 100%. Okay, so we talked about the Field of Dreams. Again, Yankees playing much better baseball of late, keep winning series after series, a couple sweeps along the way. So good job by the Yankees, two games out of the second wild card spot and within reach of the division. So good for the Yankees. The Mets, on the other hand, dropped 8 of 9. They've gotten a little healthy over against the Nationals, who suck. But I would not count it. They have a big West Coast swing soon, guys. So I don't know where the Mets are going, but right now they're about a game or a game and a half out of first.
I saw Carmine's video with that. That was pretty funny,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, he's great, Carmine.
So they're
like 9 games out of the second wild card. You know, you have to jump about 4 teams. So the Mets got to win the division, or the Mets are going to be sitting home this winter. So we'll talk a little more baseball later. I think I want to switch over to the Olympics a little bit and talk about the French athlete, Jeff, who knocked over the waters. I actually have the video if you want it, so I can play the video if you need to. You need me to?
If you want to, I just think that was clearly the biggest sign of unsportsmanlike.
Oh, my God.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Where did I put that? I don't know, Jeff. I have to apologize. It's not in my system. It did not upload properly. I tried to upload that.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I watched it, too. And, I mean, I think he said something about the water bottles were wet and they all slipped out of his hand, but yet he grabbed that last one with no problem. To me, he should have been booted out of the race right there. You know, they should have pulled him out right there.
Yeah, something should have been done. I mean, listen, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Even if you managed to prevent your opponents from getting any water, were you going to do it to every table you came across?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you got to be kidding me. That is just, to me, that's ranks right up there with cheating.
I call it cheating. I think that's as cheating as it gets. You're getting a bottle of water and you prevented everybody else from behind you from getting it. To me, that's as cheating as it gets. So, you know, it's almost like
what he did
was
such a low thing. It's like, I got a good quarterback. They got a good quarterback. Your team doesn't.
Yeah.
Let's say your team's the Giants,
mm-hmm.
and your quarterback just isn't good. It's like he didn't get enough water during practice or something.
Here we go.
And that's why he's as bad as he is.
He's
not like Dak in that division or Fitzpatrick.
Fitzmagic. Fitzmagic. You're. That's what you're calling it. Calling him.
Fitz, oh yeah.
He can be Fitztragic, as far as I'm concerned.
He could. He very well could.
And he will be at some point. He will definitely be.
On which side of the field he's throwing the ball on.
Yeah.
Well, what bird flew over the stadium at that time? But I'm going with Fitzmagic.
Yeah, I'm not. I think that team's overrated. Wow, is that a home run? I can't tell if that went out the first home run of the game.
Here's a question.
Go ahead.
For you. As far as the Field of Dreams games go,
yeah,
is there a fence in the outfield?
There is a fence. There's a fence.
It's not a corn maze?
No, there's corn. It's all corn behind it. I can't tell if it's just a bar, you know, just a bunch of posts with a top rail on it, and because it looked like the ball went through the fence, not over it, but I'm going to wait for the replay to tell you because he just hit a home run, and it didn't look like it went out, but I'd have to see it again. But there is some sort of a barrier between that and the corn.
My question was, in the movie, from what I remember,
yeah,
there was no fence.
There was no fence, yes. In the movie.
Okay, so what would happen if the ball bounces and there's no fence there? If the ball bounces and goes into the maze, the corn maze, what happened? Is it a ground rule double?
I would say that's a ground rule double, yeah. Now, I'll tell you in about 2 seconds. I would think there's got to be a fence just to avoid that problem. There is a fence there, yes. It is a chain link fence. Very hard to see, but there is a chain link fence there, so the ball cannot roll through.
That's kind of dangerous for the players.
Well, I'm sure there's something on the inside, but you know, there's still a lot of there's a few fences out there. I mean, Wrigley's still got the brick wall, the ivy with the brick wall on it. So,
yeah, but you know that it's there.
I guess.
I mean, if you run into a brick wall, you're going to be pretty stupid. But a chain link fence, somebody runs into that and gets a cleat caught in that, man, you could fucking destroy every ligament from your hip down.
Yeah, I'm calling it chain link. I can't properly see exactly what it is. It looked like chain link. I got a better look right now, Jeff. Let me see. Yeah, that's a chain link fence because it's very green, so you can barely see it. You see more, all you see is corn, but that's a chain link fence. So yeah, very, very interesting, topic. But where are we going? We did the other one. You tried to bring up the Giants sucking, but that, of course, nobody buys into that. I gotta tell you, last night I was supposed to go to the Giant Stadium for the practice. And, you know, my life always seems to get in the way. Now, I'm sure if I was traveling with somebody or meeting, you know, I was meeting Louis there and his crowd, but had you come or Frank Jeffrey come or one of the other guys I tried to invite, it would have made, but I got out of work late because everything happens and I can never just get out of work on time. I sat in about 45 minutes of traffic getting from the Staten Island, from Ferrazzano to the Gothels Bridge. And then another 40 minutes getting from the Gothels Bridge to even the outside area of Giant Stadium. And it wound up to be about 6:20. And I was within striking distance. And I went, by the time I get in, find a place to park, walk into the stadium, get to my seat. It's going to be 10 to 7. This thing's over at 8 o'clock. I was planning to leave at 7:30. I just bailed and went home. And I said, you know what? It's ridiculous. I can't ever get my life in tuned with being having a social life. It's ridiculous, but I digress.
This is the thing about being an adult, Tom. Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
There's not much that you're able to do about it, man.
No, I know. But, again, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom, we're sitting there shooting the crap.
I don't want to poke the subject.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Maybe. If you didn't waste all your vacation time running down to Florida to find a place to live in the future, you could have taken the next day off or that day off or whatever and got out there and experienced Giants practice. But you could probably see the same thing if you go to a high school practice. You know, how good is it going to be? This is a team that's probably not projected to win more than 3 or 4 games in the next 3 years.
The real pundits, the real analysts out there are picking the Giants to win the division, just for the record, just so you know.
A division that was won by a sub-500 team.
Won't be one by a sub-500 team this year, though. It'll be a 10-7 Giant team, 11-6 Giant team will win the NFC East this year easily. Especially now with your boy Dak out. Dak's out. You let me tell you something. Let me tell you something.
He's your boy, Matt's boy.
No. He's your boy. You were touting him this week. I got the evidence right here on my phone. I got it. You want to see it anytime? I can whip it right out.
I was promoting Dak Prescott as the player ahead of Daniel Jones because he
can't be better than Daniel Jones if he don't play, and he's not going to play.
Well, just say the name. Yeah. Just say the name, okay? Yeah. Imagine this. He's a spy. He's a lover. He's suave. He's Devin. He's Dak Prescott.
Oh, stop.
You can't say he's a lover. He's a spy. He's a Danny Jones. It just doesn't go.
It doesn't work. Listen, I don't care if it goes or not as long as he wins me football games, which he will do plenty. Plenty. He will do it a plenty. Not only plenty, a plenty.
He is going to be up there on the field throwing the ball around.
Here we go.
He's going to be collecting unemployment, the extra 300 a week.
Here we go. Let me know when you're done.
And I'm not done. I'm going to unload. I've been facing threats all fucking day long. I'm going to unload on you.
We're not there yet. I'm trying to keep you around a little while, make you feel good. I'm just telling you, it is what it is. Lots to get you guys. Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom here Thursday night. We got the Field of Dreams game up on the screen. I think there's a couple of NFL preseason games on tonight. Who cares? Big matchup, Saturday night, Giants and the Jets, first preseason game. I'm going to do a little topic of football out there. Not going to do a lot of it right now. We're going to do your new segment soon. I got some other stuff. I'm just focusing in on you. Jeff, so there used to be a rhythm to NFL preseason, right? So game one of four, there used to be four games. Game one, you would probably see the starters, your projected season starters, playing maybe one or two series and they'd be gone. Then game two, they would play maybe like the first quarter, the starters, and then you're into all the other guys showing what they got. Game three was what they used to call the dress rehearsal. And they would usually play one or two series into the second half, and then they would play almost nothing, maybe a series, if at all, in game four. So I ask you, Jeff, now, how do you think, because we have no idea yet, we're going to find out Saturday, how these teams are going to handle it. Do teams make game two the dress rehearsal? Do teams actually let guys play more than half the game in game three, since that's the last game before? I see a lot of stuff where, Saquon Barkley's not going to play at all. Matthew Stafford's not playing at all in the preseason. There's a handful of Aaron Rodgers not playing at all in the preseason. How do you think it's going to change people's mentality or teams' mentality having only three games, Jeff?
Well, I think you also got to take COVID into consideration with this.
Okay.
Are a lot of people maybe not going to play their starters all that much because of the fact that you're still dealing with COVID? And how you doing, Will? And who knows?
Hey, Willie.
What the outcome with that is? So you might not get the. You may not see starters at all. Saquon Barkley is he's cleared to practice and everything, yeah. But I don't think he's 100% ready. So they might not even put him out there yet. God forbid. Listen, this guy gets hurt sitting still on the sideline.
Oh my God! Yeah.
You're gonna put him in the game after getting knee surgery? If he was mine, I know I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it.
But at what cost, though, Jeff? I agree with you. Nobody wants to get their guys hurt in a meaningless game. But at what point do we say, well, does it not helping him getting on the field? Will it take him now three games to get, acclimated? What point does the product hurt? And at what point do you say, hey, the guy can get hurt, stepping out of his car off the curb? So I'm saying, I get your point.
I understand what you're saying there, Tom. I really do. But you know what? You're talking about a running back that didn't have a muscle pull or something like that. He had his knee redone.
Let's take him out. Aaron Rodgers is a completely healthy guy. Why isn't Aaron Rodgers playing in any games?
Aaron Rodgers had a fucking a hissy fit that lasted for fucking months. And now he's finally back. So, I mean, what kind of condition could he possibly be in? He wasn't involved in anything.
But even more reason, though, Jeff, no?
Yeah.
But even more reason to play him.
He's 37 years old, huh?
I get it. I'm just saying this. But then how is their timing? Because I don't care what you do in practice. It's never the same as a game. So, to me, how do our teams get ready for a season when most of their big players and their key players aren't playing? In the games?
It's a good question. It really is a good question. Me, personally, well, like I said, with knowing that you're dealing with COVID and that you're dealing with guys that maybe are afraid to get it, the change and everything, now you got an extra game to think about. So maybe that gives you a little leeway. Think of that, too. That gives you a little leeway because now you have games. This extra game is going to hurt, but it's going to help.
Why?
Okay. Well, it's going to hurt because it's an extra game that you're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to help because say you're one game out with three to go instead of one game out with two to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, it gives these teams a little bit more incentive. It could end up making a difference in the standings in December. Who gets a playoff spot, who doesn't, loses one, who secures one.
Right.
Who comes back and grabs one. You don't know what's going to happen with the extra game. But, you keep the guy fresh in September and you feed him a little extra time as September goes around. Now, by the time you got September, October, November, December, to the end of December that they're going to be playing, meaningful games too. So I think I would rather go easy on him in the beginning of this year than to go hard on him in September and then back off in December. Maybe the team that's 13-3 with one game left at the end of the year is the team that could go a little easy on their players in the last week of the season.
That's possible. That's possible.
You know, not a team that's maybe 10-6 going into week 17, 18, whatever the fuck it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that they need to win, so they like they're going out to play because they have. There's a chance that they're going to make the playoffs if they win. You know, it's going to be a lot of different scenarios, Tom.
No, okay, listen, I agree. Listen, I've seen crazy stuff. I saw Jason Sehorn early in his promising career blow out his knee, returning kickoffs in a meaningless football game. We saw, what's his name, your boy Mark Sanchez get hurt in the Snoopy Bowl a few years back because Rex Ryan put him back in the game and he wound up getting hurt and hurt the Jets even season even more.
It's an important trophy to win.
Yeah, yeah. Now, again, we'll get to this weekend's games and all of that, but I do want to bring up one more quick football thing before I get to some music stuff right now. And guys, hang in there. Jeff and Tom talking sports and music here every Thursday night here on the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. Thanks to all of you guys for checking in. I want to thank our last week's guests, John Mar Hefka from RFO Records, and Sean and Dave from the Barstools and Band Talk. Page, those guys are the best. They're a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to hanging out with them some more. Jeff, there's been a lot of talk this week. Three veteran Giants, guys who came over in the offseason after camps have opened up, left within days. And some people are criticizing Joe Judge, saying, hey, you know, he's – and now the guys who left didn't have anything bad to say, nothing negative to say. But a lot of people on the outside saying, oh, you know, making guys run laps for making mistakes. You're pushing them too hard. I have no idea, Jeff. I don't have a problem with it. To me, I don't understand why we have to coddle the players. What do you think? Do you think that a guy like Joe Judge is too outside the box?
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, you're a football player. You're supposed to be able to handle certain things. If you can't handle running up and down a field a couple times because the team made a mistake or a team made a stupid mistake, then why are you playing a game of football?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I understand it must suck to run in pads and a helmet. God knows how many times up and down the field. What do they call them?
Sprints
or heats or whatever the fuck they call them. Oh, gases.
Gases.
It must suck to have to run that shit. I know I probably couldn't walk the length of a football field without having to stop halfway and take a break for a few minutes. But that's me.
Yeah.
I'm also, you know, way older than these guys and not in the same shape. But if they're in shape, they should be able to do this and be expected to do it. And how about another thing? Don't make the stupid mistakes that are going to get you.
Well, I think that's the idea.
That kind of attention.
I think that's the idea is that he's making them focus on you don't want to run, don't make the mistakes. And I don't have a problem with it.
Speaking of mistakes, what the fuck, Daniel Jones? What is this idiot thinking
about?
There's a team fight.
Yeah,
he gets in the middle of it.
Well, listen, I'll give him credit for this. He's got a pair of balls, and it's not brains, because I don't want my starting quarterback in the bottom of a pile like that. So I'm with you 100%. But what I will say is, he said it, and he said, listen, I'm part of the offense. The offense was squaring up. I jumped in. His offensive lineman pulled him out of the pile and got him out of harm's way. But you're right, Jeff. I don't want my starting, hopefully franchise quarterback in the bottom of a melee in the middle of a football, a preseason.
No, I mean, come on. Let's be honest here. Daniel Jones was a retard for using that statement. You're the starting quarterback, okay? You're this is a big year for you. If you got hurt, your career's over. Your career's over.
We've seen it happen to countless other people. So yeah, I'm not a big fan. But I tell you the truth, I applaud Joe Judge. His team seems to love it. They say if you don't like it, don't play here. And I think it's a good team chemistry building thing. I think this Giant team is getting closer. And I think it wasn't that long ago that teams ran two-a-day practices. You know, we're in pads both practices. You know, they ran constantly. you know, the modern football player is a sissy. I'm sorry. They can't handle, you know, running a few laps, running gassers. You know, they shouldn't be in the – you're 100% right. They shouldn't be in the NFL.
I mean, I would think that these guys are running something, doing something in practice. They're doing some kind of running. Maybe they're not doing gases, but, I mean, listen, first team, go out there, second team, three laps around, you know, give me four laps, whatever.
Right.
You know, halftime, four laps. You know, something like of that nature. It's going to build up stamina.
Yeah.
It's going to build up strength. It's going to build up durability.
Yep.
It's a lot of – it's going to build character.
I agree.
Okay? Now, is Joe Judge going to win Coach of the Year? Probably never once in his career, Tom.
Here we go.
Probably never once in his career.
This year. He almost won it last year.
Probably going to win the first spot on the unemployment line of the NFC East coaches this year.
Man, it's
gonna That's just my thoughts.
Man, they're fitting for his gold jacket already. I can see it coming.
Oh, my God. You and that gold jacket.
Yeah, it's coming for the gold jacket, baby. It's coming for the gold jacket. Hey, guys, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Pretty soon, you're going to stick around, guys. We have our new segment that Jeff came up with off the top of his head, I got a feeling, last week. It's called Semi or Not Gonna Happen. I'll see if Jeff may or may not want to explain it. I don't know if he's going to want to explain it, but I'll give him the opportunity.
We'll see. Well, how about this? I could explain it.
Go ahead. Without giving it away?
Well, I can't explain it without giving it away.
Explain it. Go ahead.
Okay. Semi or not. Just like, you know, when you say, well, I got a semi. Well, that's exactly what it means. It's, you're getting a semi. The thought of this is giving you a semi. Right now, the thoughts of the Giants being a sub-500 team and not making the playoffs again, that gives me a full one. I'm talking full tilt. No semi. We blow right past semi. My silo is riding high, as Mr. St. Ubbins would say. Okay?
With
the thought of Saquon Barkley not being able to play 17 games this year because of an injury, it gives me a semi. I can't help it. The thoughts of the Giants being a successful team and actually going into the playoffs, that does nothing for me. It's nothing at all. Does it? Because I will have to hear so much shit at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah. You better pray to God to have a bad season. You will never. That might be the one that gets you to quit the show, because I will ride you every week.
Oh, listen.
Oh, yeah.
And the same goes the other way because.
Oh, listen. I've sat through it for the last four years. I've sat through some bad football. So, yeah.
I sit at work every morning at my desk. Okay. And I go through a few minutes of stupidity, depending on who it is and what they're asking for. Their answers could be anything from get the fuck away from me. I don't know why you're bothering me. To let me see what I can do for you, or let me see. We'll just wait over there. Give me a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I hear my bell going off on my phone. And I look, and then there it is. It's a Tommy Florio. And I'm like, oh, Tommy's texting me. And then I'll open it up, and it'll be something. And then I'm like, then I feel bad for the next guy that comes up to my desk. Hey, listen, is that it? No, we ain't fucking doing that today. Get the fuck away from me. Like, chase that guy away. Like, get out of here. Get the fuck out of here. And they'll be like, man, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm like, don't worry about what's wrong with me. And I'm trying to answer you back. You know, so there was a couple times this week where you struck first.
Oh, yeah. I
struck preemptive strike. I was like, wow, what is going on with this guy?
I said, you know what? I haven't heard from him. I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to get him before he gets me.
And you did.
Blew it up, and I threw your whole day off that way.
Yeah, you
kind of did. That's it. But we're going to talk. We'll talk more football in a little bit. I want to switch gears and get a little music in here now. I got a couple topics for you. We'll get second part of this will be the Dusty Hill tribute, which you'll handle. But I want to talk to you about something I've seen a lot of lately, and I want to say, you know what? I think it was a great topic because I think you can look at things two ways. Now I'm going to use YouTube because I think it's the easiest one to use. So, Jeff, when we were kids, and probably before that, but I'll use our example, for me at least, when I was trying to play guitar as a youngster, 12, 13 years old, 14, 15 years old, my way to learn was either two ways. Either I had to go pay for or get a guitar lesson, have somebody teach me something, or I would sit in my bedroom. You know, my parents had a strict curfew for us, weekends or not. And we were up all times of the night, and there was no computers and no cable TV and all that stuff. And I would sit in my room and practice a song somebody showed me, or try to learn a song off the album itself. Put the album on the needle on the record, as they say. Listen, try to play it, figure it out. Got to the point where I could do it somewhat back in the day. But today, Jeff, it's different. And I'm not sure if it's better or not. Today, you could go to YouTube, type in a song, and have multiple people teach you each part of that song. You can go on the internet and find tabs. You could find straight sheet music. There's millions of ways you can find entire songs with the guitar missing, or the bass missing, or the vocals missing, or just the guitar. Jeff, the question I'm getting to is today's technology making it easier or harder to learn music?
Both.
Explain yourself.
Both, because it's making it easier because now you don't have to sit there and try to figure out, like, first of all, what is this song tuned to? Okay, somebody else did that. Is it a drop tuning? Is it a regular tuning? What is it? Okay, then you got to figure it out. And then all of a sudden you'd be like, okay, I figured it out completely wrong because I didn't know the tuning. Now I know the tuning. Then as far as learning, you know, I may play it one way, you may play it another way, and somebody else might play it a third way.
Uh-huh.
So you're trying to learn this song, and you're like, I can't learn it because I have three different videos for this song, and everybody's playing it differently. I found tabs, and the tabs don't match up to anybody's video version. So what I do is when I go to look for a video, okay, to learn some songs,
because
that's the fastest way, and let's face it, I'm not
good point.
It'll take me a week.
Good
to
point.
Learn a breaking the law the right way.
Correct. Good point.
I'll look it up on YouTube and then watch them play, try to listen, see what they're doing and be like, does that sound right? Does that look right? And then I'll read the comments and then see how many likes and dislikes they get. Some people are big into it. They're like, yeah, that was great, man. Then other people be like, I couldn't make that out. I don't think that's right. Then compare it up against some tabs and you're like, well, I don't know. This is the closest version to this. These two match.
Right.
This tab and this video match. So I'm going to use these two and continuously cross-reference.
Right.
And then you learn a couple main parts. And then I just sit there and just continuously play with the video.
Right.
And it's like, okay, then after a while, I leave the tutorial and I look for a video of just the band. You know, like of the official video or
right.
song. And then I just keep playing with it until I get it. Sometimes I luck out and I get it rather quickly. Other times it's like, this is taking way too long for this song. And then that's when I make up something and I'm like, I can't learn it. Sorry. We're not doing it. You know, then everybody else in the band is like, why not? It's an easy song. Yeah, for you, it's easy. For me, it's not necessarily easy, you know? So, but it can be good. It can be bad. If everything goes right, it's great. I learned the song last night and 2 minutes. You know, I just basically checked on the tuning and tuned my bass, watched them play, and I was like, okay, that's good. I'm done. My phone was going off all night, so I didn't have the chance to actually play along with it.
Right.
Because of the bullshit, I was like, you know, yesterday my phone was going off like Ben. So, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I you know what, I would say that it makes it convenient, you know, as somebody who stopped playing for a very long time and has gotten back into it, I think it's hurt me because it's makes it too easy to go, oh, I'll just learn that song over the weekend. I'll watch somebody else play it, and then I'll figure out a couple of chords, and I'll get through the song, as opposed to, at the very least, learning it through the tab where you have to learn the song and each individual note and every chord. And, you know, like you turn a lot of stuff in guitar stuff is, well, this isn't exactly the way to play it, but it's close enough, you know, and you know, they'll take out some of the melody, or, you know, and they'll take out some of the fingering to make it easier. And it sounds right, but it's not right. I honestly truly think it's very bad to learn that way. I do it because I'm 54 years old and I don't have a lot of time to do this shit.
It is, but you want to know something? Sometimes that's just it. Learn a song.
Uh-huh.
However you get a chance to learn the song. This is the way you could play with it to the record or, mm-hmm. or along a track on the computer from iTunes or whatever.
Yep.
And you'd be like, you know what, that doesn't sound right. But I've learned 70% of the song.
Right.
So it means there's 30% of the song that I didn't learn.
Right.
Depending on what song it is.
Sure.
You get a song like Xanadu for Rush, I don't think you're going to learn 30% of the song.
Correct.
Much less 70%, regardless of who's showing it to you.
Yeah.
Because it's just the person who you're playing. But you know what? Maybe it gives you a hint. Maybe it gives you the song on a run.
Yeah.
Maybe it gives you the missing note that you're like,
no,
every note under the song except that note.
But let me ask you this question. If you had a young kid come up to you and say, hey, Jeff, how should I learn? Would you recommend using YouTube or would you tell them to stay away from YouTube?
I would tell them to use YouTube, but to scan. If there's 10 videos, don't be afraid to watch each one and see how many of them are actually playing it alike. And if you find if there's 10 videos and there's three or four people that are playing it alike, stick with that version. Stick with the one that's the clearest and easiest for you to see and understand. Don't get one because the guy has long hair and he's playing a fucking V and he's ripping his solo and shit.
Yeah.
Or you get the guy and there's one guy in particular, I don't know what his name is. I come across a lot of his videos and he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is he likes to add a lot of his own shit.
Oh, yeah.
So as he's playing, like he's playing and he's like you can just see by the way his hand is moving, like you can't even really see what my hand is doing. But it's like he's weird, but he's playing so fluidly.
Right.
But like the song will be like the doom, the doom, the doom, the doom, the doom, the doom, and then also he's like the doom, 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 the doom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's not there. Why are you doing it? That's nice that you're showing off, but you know somebody else that's watching you doesn't need to see that.
No, I agree with you 100%.
Put down it's your version then that you're playing, you know?
Yeah, I would recommend anybody young kid who's getting into it to not go near YouTube for a while. Learn tabs, learn scales, learn to play the basics. And then when you're learning songs at that point, once you know your chord structures and you know your scales and your then I just think it hurts. Again, at least for guitar players, and I'll tell you for myself, I know it's definitely not helped me in the sense of be a better guitar player. It just helped me to learn songs faster. So, well,
you know, it does, but it does make you a better guitar player, though, Tom, because you didn't. That's a song that you did not know earlier in the day.
True.
Now, if you're learning a half-assed version of it,
yeah,
but you're learning a half-assed version of it because, all right, I could get through this song learning this version and I need to play it this weekend. So instead of trying to spend 4 or 5 hours to learn a 2.5 minute song, I'm spending 25 minutes. I got all of the basics and I'm going to be able to play this song along with this band at this show for this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. You may never play that song again. Maybe it's a song you hate. And you just got to learn it real quick. And it's just like, okay, you know, it's not right. I know it's not right. Uh-huh. I know it's not right. But everybody else thinks it sounds great. And everybody says, oh, yeah, it was great. You sounded good. You sounded good. Meanwhile, like, I know I didn't play the right part.
Right.
But nobody knew. Everybody was great. And that's the best. Let's face it. There ain't nothing better when these people come up to you, and they're like, wow, that sounded great. That sounded great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know that it was wrong. We're not stupid. We know that it was wrong. But,
mm-hmm.
you know. Listen, it is what it is.
No, I listen again. I just something that I see pop up a lot, and I've heard a couple of guys talk about it, and I wanted to get your take on. So I'm glad I did. So, guys, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom, we're here at 8:15. Sure.
Think of how long it took you to play out for your first time.
Yep.
Okay. If maybe YouTube was out 25, 30 years ago, maybe we were playing every weekend by the mid-80s someplace.
Maybe.
Maybe you were playing down the Tiki Bar in Jersey. Maybe you were in the Nerds. You don't know what could have happened. Yeah. I don't know.
No, listen, I'm not arguing with that. Again, does it make it easier for me to learn a song? Absolutely, 100%. Does it make me a better guitar player? I say no, only because I think growing up, I learned and got better sitting in my room practicing to a record where I was learning the song. Now, again, you know what? The good part of what you're saying is You know, back then there were probably parts I was playing wrong because I was in the wrong tuning, or I just listened to it wrong and didn't get it right, or I missed a few notes. So I think YouTube in the end is a great way for me at 50-something years old to learn songs and play. But that's just kind of my opinion.
Listen, I'm playing with a guy now. I'm not going to say his name because I don't know if he's into the show and everything else. And every once in a while he talks and he's like, oh, you know, I mean, this is a minus seventh pentatonic, and here I am trying to mix in with a C major seven on the eighth note on the sixth flat. And I'm like, what the fuck did you just say? What is the tuning of the song? Could you tell me that? That's all I need to know, please. That's it. You know, and meanwhile, it's like, but you said this was Z, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you say E?
Just give me the root, my friend. Just give me the root. Again, Jeff and Tom here Thursday night. We've got Field of Dreams on the screen, but two handsome guys sitting on this one getting ready to talk a little more sports. But before we get over to the sports side, Jeff, I do want to bring up the passing. We've had a lot of them lately. What's his name from Metal Church passed away recently.
Mike Howe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, Dusty Hill from ZZ Top passed away. So I'd like to get your take, if I could find you on my screen again. I am there you go. Okay, my screen dropped off. I think Aaron Judge just hit a three-run homer for the New York Yankees out into the cornfield, Jeff. So the Yankees are 3-1, nice. Top of third with two outs. I turned away, so I didn't see it, but I see him running around the bases. Pretty cool picture of Aaron Judge circling the bases after hitting a three-run homer. Yanks up 3-1. Two outs into the third inning, Yankees leading. So, Jeff, tell us a little bit about that. Were you a Dusty Hill fan? Are you what kind of bass player was Dusty Hill? Give us a little background and strange circumstances around his passing.
Yeah, he had I think it was not rheumatoid, bursitis or something, or something of that nature.
I do not see an official.
There is no official thing, but he was battling something. And he was born in May 19th, 1949, and he was in ZZ Top for over 50 years.
Yeah, these guys were in different bands together. Yeah, these guys were in different bands together, Frank Beard and Billy Gibbons. So, God.
Yeah, and he sang lead on one song, which was Tush.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the only song he sang lead on. And, you listen, I don't know if you could have gotten a more solid three-piece band for what they were doing. I guess they were the AC/DC of Tex-Mex music, so to speak.
Outstanding.
They were very hard, but their songs, they always looked like they were having a good time, and, you know, they were tight, and they sounded good, and I mean, come on, man, you're not just going to be together for 50 years by accident.
Yeah.
But the thing that got me the most is after he died, they played shows, like, immediately after that.
Yes.
And he was replaced by Elwood Francis, his long-term bass tech.
30 years the guy was that tech. Yeah.
Yeah. Made him promise that he would, that they would continue to play. So maybe he knew something was going on. I don't know. But it's a shame that, you know, so, I mean, come on, man. Legs, Tush, Sharp Dressed Man, I Gots to Get Paid. That's a great song, man. You got to listen to that one. I Gots to Get Paid.
Okay.
That's the name of it. Great song. I heard it on the X. A Pearl Necklace.
Cheap Sunglasses.
Cheap Sunglasses. Yeah, man. A whole bunch of different stuff. Great stuff. None of it was hard to play. But, you know, the one thing that Dusty Hill said was sometimes he felt as though that he got lost in the mix, but he hated it, but loved it at the same time. Because he said he used to play more complex bass lines, but when his bass lines ended up getting lost, that nobody talked about him, that meant that he was doing exactly what he was supposed to do, and he nailed it 110%.
Mm-hmm.
So he was proud of what he did, and he was definitely, I would definitely call him an in-the-pocket type of bass player who, you know, just did exactly that, did what had to get done. No showmanship, no nothing, and just went out and played a good, solid, thick bass line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything was based on, like, a blues progression with most of the ZZ Top stuff. And, you know, listen, guy did what he had to do. You know, he was mm-hmm. a great bass player. I like how they used to have matching guitars and basses for some of their songs.
Yeah.
You know, it was really cool. And then with the car from Eliminator, the album Eliminator,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the little, what was that, Legs?
Yes.
Or Sharp Dressed Man, where they had the keychain.
Oh, I'm not sure.
And the kid was getting abused in the video. And,
okay.
And all of a sudden, they threw him the keychain with the car. And it, like, all of a sudden, he became the coolest guy in the world because he had the keys to that car. And he got all the girls and shit. So they were a party band, without a doubt. And listen, he's going to be missed. These guys, they're all getting older.
Sure.
And that's the fucking scary part. We're going to lose them. We're losing them fast now. Mike Howe was only in his 50s.
Yeah, he's our age.
But I mean, you know, Billy Gibbons and Frank Beard, these guys are getting older. All of these guys, the guys in Priest, the guys in Maiden, the guys in Sabbath, the Deep Purple, and all of these other bands that you kind of take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And one day you're just going to wake up like Dusty Hill woke up, spoke to his wife. She said that they were sitting there talking, and then the man just died. Just passed away right there.
Wow.
You know, like, imagine that. You wake up, you're laying in bed, you're sitting in bed, and you're talking to your wife, and, yeah, we got to go here today, and that's it, man. Done. Like,
I guess if you're going to go, that might be the way to go. No illness.
I would want to go, but
I got
that's
you.
Me.
That is you. You know, I'm not, and this is, please don't take this as a knock. I didn't realize they were even in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they've been in for a long time. Yeah, and there's a lot of bands that I would have put in ahead of them, but, you know, if you look back at their career, they've obviously had a ton of hits. They've obviously sold a lot of music, played a lot of shows, so, you know, congrats and good for them. I just had no idea they've been in since 2004.
No, neither did I, to tell you the truth, but let's be honest. It is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and does it really matter? If there's a band that you love, does it really matter if they're in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No, of course not. Just, it surprised me when bands like Kiss takes forever to get in, or other bands that you know, like, you know, Bon Jovi's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, with all the success the guy had in the 80s and 90s, he's not in there. I just
see, that's the thing. When you look at his body of work overall, like Bon Jovi real quick,
go ahead.
You know, he doesn't have the staying power that a lot of these other bands did. Yes, he was big with the video world. He was big. Huge.
But let me ask you a question. I got it. But,
then he fizzled out.
But his body of work was better than Guns N' Roses. And why is Guns N' Roses in?
I can't answer that question.
But I'm saying, Jeff.
As much, not only was it better on some levels, depending on who you asked, but it was also a lot longer.
Yeah.
Guns N' Roses put out a handful of albums. By 92, 93.
But that's my point.
Pretty much done.
Right, but so that's my point. So Bon Jovi's been steady. He put out, I mean, his first four albums, let's say five albums, were huge. Huge hits, radio hits all over.
The Bon Jovi album that he put out?
2018. It was terrible. It was terrible.
All right, so then name the net. When was the last great Bon Jovi album?
Probably in the 80s. I would have to say not early 90s or late 80s, Jeff.
So you're talking...
But you're talking about Guns having one great album. One great album. Then they fizzled by 92, disappeared forever.
Yes, they did. But so, I will say this much. Guns N' Roses, the first album, Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah.
Okay. Each and every single song on that album was a hit. At
agreed.
Time.
No doubt.
Okay. They came in during the height of the MTV video age. Okay, Paradise City, I was at Giant Stadium when they recorded the album of the song, Paradise City, when they made the video for Paradise City.
Right.
So that was, you know.
But Bon Jovi did the same things, Jeff. All his first four albums.
I understand that.
How many number one hits did he have?
He didn't get the notoriety that Axl Rose did.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not disagreeing that maybe that Guns... On a more national or worldwide level, but when you're talking about body of work, again, I'm not here. And again, this I turned this into something I didn't want it to be. I'm not trying to say that Bon Jovi belongs in the Hall of Fame. I'm not going to the bathroom. I'm just saying is ZZ Top said maybe they deserve to be, maybe they don't deserve to be. I really don't know enough, but you're right. I think it's very arbitrary. And when a band like Guns N' Roses gets in before Bon Jovi, before some other people, I think it's a travesty. You got one album. Yes, it was huge. One of the greatest double-sided albums that ever was. Big hits. Agreed 100%. It's one album. You did one great thing. It's like throwing a no-hitter in your rookie season, and then you're out of the league by five in after year five, but they put you in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I hear you, but you know what? That's also like saying that same analogy, but every year that he threw one no-hitter and he won 20 games every year. You know, due to videos, you got to remember something, Tom. Due to videos, mm-hmm. due to their antics, due to the models that they were banging, due to the drug problems, due to the notoriety that they had, due to the amount of people that were in and out of that band, because when Axl got pissed off what he did and everything else, it brought a lot of attention to that band. And let's face it, you want to talk about record sales? I would imagine that first Guns N' Roses album probably sold just as much, if not more, than half the Bon Jovi albums did. And Bon Jovi was geared towards more towards the girls and stuff. So was Guns N' Roses, but a lot of guys picked up on them. They were a big seller. You know, they went on a massive tour with Metallica. They were on tour with Aerosmith and Deep Purple. You know, they got a lot of for their time. They really did. I mean, listen, you either like them or you don't.
No, and again, I'm not a fan of them. I'm not a huge Bon Jovi fan. I just, if I'm looking at body of work, Bon Jovi's got 3, 4, 5 albums. He was all over MTV. You know, the guy's still putting out music. And Guns, they had one great album, two, I guess, okay albums after that.
They had more albums. They had more songs off those albums. Use Your Illusions 1 and 2.
Yeah, but no.
And you realize, plus GNR Lies, you know, and then the video, just the videos alone. November Rain, I agree with what you're saying. I'm not saying that I'm preaching for them. Don't get me wrong. But some of these videos, man, people fucking fell in love with. I remember every day, every single day, watching MTV, because they would have the countdown, the video countdown around dinner time.
Right.
So I always made sure I was home for that, because then I would get to see one from Metallica. And then every day it was like, okay, they'll be like, when we come back with the top two videos, who's number one today? And I'll be like, oh, fuck me. That means Metallica's out. Guns N' Roses got the first stop. You know, they won the top video of the day. And that's how you knew. And every day would watch it. And it was just, you know, they were all over the place. They could have been the next Stones. They fucked it up.
Okay, so just for the record, Bon Jovi, just for shits and giggles, has over 130 million record sales worldwide. 130 million. And right. Guns N' Roses, I want to say 35, 42, 49, 50, 53 million.
A lot, man.
I'm not saying it's nothing. I'm just saying is, you know, I'm just using album sales as a small part of it. You know, their last album was 2008. Before that, the Spaghetti Incident, which I never even heard of, was 93. 91, 91, 88 was Guns N' Roses GNR Lies and Appetite. So they put out 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's say Spaghetti was 5 in a matter of 5 years, and then nothing until 2008. And we all know Chinese Democracy sucked. So, I'm just – listen, again, we're off the beaten path. Let's get back to Dusty Hill and ZZ Top. But, you know, to me, the Guns N' Roses was a travesty getting in. And no disrespect to anybody who likes them. I'm not a huge fan. I like the first album, but – you know, it is what it is. So, but Jeff, good job on the Dusty Hill thing. Where do you put him? Would he make your top 10 bass players?
I don't know.
You played a lot of his stuff. I know that you've played a few of his things and you listened to some of that stuff. Would you put him in your top 10 of bass players?
No, maybe top 15.
Okay.
No, I don't think a top 10. Okay. I don't think so. I honestly, don't remember the last time I actually thought of who would be in my top 10 or whatever, but I know that I usually look at my top 3 to 5.
Right.
You know what I mean? But he has a place. Let's put it that way. He definitely has a place, but it'll probably be more of a top 15.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. All right, Jeff, let's get back to a little football. I want to, do I want to do football? You know what? Let's do the new segment. It's 8:30. We still got people listening, watching. Let's do the new segment.
People listening and watching. Well, how are our friends in the on the other side of the Gaza Strip doing?
We are creeping up toward 8. We haven't gotten there yet. We're getting each week. We haven't lost anybody, but we are climbing. Week
really?
To week, we are climbing small pieces at a time. I don't know how that works, but we are climbing up in the Gaza Strip. So, yes.
I got to be honest with you, man. I am fucking amazed.
Yes.
That we are the hits that we are in Israel.
Yes, we are. I'll tell you. Go ahead, finish your thought. I'll tell you something funny.
No, I just it leads me to believe that there's women that all sitting at home watching this night right now and must be like, these guys are, look at them. Why can't you be like one of them guys? Why can't you be like especially the guy with the beard?
And it's not our wives, that's for sure. Well, I'll tell you something funny. I'm trying to nail down a certain guest, and that piece of information, which shows all the different countries that are listening, may have sealed the deal to get him on the show. So we'll see. Right. Actually, two different people. I've asked for that information. I sent it, and there was a good chance of both of them coming on the show. But until I get more of a better confirmation, I'll leave it to that, Jeff. But let's do a new segment. I want you to know that I am going to talk to somebody about some artwork for this new segment, which you have dubbed Semi or Not Going to Happen. Not going to happen. I'll take the going and make it going to happen. I want to put it on a shirt.
Gonna sounds more like,
I want to put it on a shirt, and I want to have a backdrop made up for this. So each week, Jeff, that I can come up with probably five, I want to make it about five different things that I will say to you, Jeff, such and such is going to happen or this is going to happen, and you're going to say to me, Tom, I'm semi. Or you're going to say, Tom, not going to happen. And that'll be kind of our way to say, that's going to be cool, or that's going to be great, or that's going to suck. Fuck, I'm not watching that. And the Yankee game is now tied, another home run, second home run of the game. The Yankees are now down 5-3. I didn't realize there were men runners on base. So the Yankees right now are down 5-3 in the third inning, two outs. And the guy from the White Sox is kind of taunting the Yankees. I'll be putting a ball in his ear next time he comes to bat. But that's all that was story. So, Jeff, I will give you five different things that are going on, whether it's happening tonight or in the near future. And you will tell me, Tom, semi or not going to happen. Are you ready?
Let's try it, man.
Okay, Jeff, first up, Jeff, semi or not going to happen, the Field of Dreams game. We get off the air. Jeff's got a couple hours of hanging out time. Semi, not going to happen.
By the time we get off, I have a couple other things I got to do. It's not going to happen tonight.
Okay. So I want you to keep your responses to semi or not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
There you go. Okay. Next.
But I just, for the record, I am going to watch the players come. I'm going to look that up on YouTube.
Okay.
I want to see that. There are aspects of the game I do want to see.
Okay, but overall, it's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
All right, ladies. Jeff will not say it's not going to happen. Jeff, there is a online streaming show for the Heavy Metal Hall of Fame. I know there are people like Triumph involved, Striper. I saw Bill Ward involved. Jeff, I think it's next week, next Friday. Jeff, semi, not going to happen.
Well, you said Bill Ward, so semi.
Oh, so you're semi, huh?
Bill Ward and Triumph, semi. I will look into this.
Okay, I will send you some information on it. Jeff, this weekend, the football, you know, the more football games are happening. and our two teams will be facing each other. Jeff, will you? Well, Jeff, the Jets Giants play a preseason exhibition game, semi or not going to happen? Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Really? So you won't even tune in for a second to watch your new coach?
No, because everything that you're seeing in that preseason football game is nothing that you're going to be getting in real life. I don't want to get a bad impression of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go into the season thinking like this guy didn't run, this guy didn't hustle, Salah didn't do this, they didn't do that. Anything. I don't want to have any bad thoughts clouding my judgment when I start watching the Jets for real. So, not going to happen.
All right, Jeff, two more. I got two more for you. Again, guys, a new segment here on the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. I'm going to push this segment along. I will break this segment out each week and play it on social media all to itself.
Oh, boy.
So this is going to have some fun. I'm going to have some shirts made up. And I'm just going to work on some artwork here. But, Jeff, my fourth ask is, there is a Triumph documentary. I think it's out already. I'm going to try to find it this weekend and check it out. Jeff, a Triumph documentary, semi or not going to happen?
Yeah, definitely a semi. Triumph was a band that we each liked when we were younger, a band that unfortunately kind of fell to the wayside when I didn't think that they should have, but, I'm happy that maybe they're going to make another go at it. Who knows? Maybe if this movie takes off, it happened for Anvil, so maybe it'll happen for Triumph.
Okay, so it's a...
semi.
Okay, so Jeff's happy about that, I see. All right, Jeff, the last one, and I had to do a little searching for this one. I think it's this Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. The big pig roast that your band used to play all the time. Is that a semi? Or not going to happen? Got to ask.
That is totally up in the air. And the reason I say that is because I have a party to go to. I have to work first 6 to 2:30. Then I have to be at a party at 4 o'clock. The pig roast starts at 5. And I'm hoping to definitely stop by at a pig roast. That club lost a friend the other day. Yesterday morning, matter of fact, I believe.
So I hear that.
So I would like to go and say hello to a few people. I haven't been there in a while. I don't know if they've even been opened that much. I don't see them advertised much.
Uh-huh.
But I may go just to say hello to everybody, see what's going on, and see if they're doing anything to remember the woman that is no longer here. It's a shame. Her name was Joanna. Nice woman. But, she ended up, I don't know what she died from, but I heard she had pneumonia, was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They sent her home. She couldn't breathe. She called an ambulance, and by the time the ambulance got there and got her to the hospital, she was gone. So, to me, that's pretty much sounds like she suffocated.
Doesn't sound good. Jeff, no. Is that a semi or not going to happen?
I'm going to go with not going to happen.
Okay. All right. This is the segment.
I got to be honest with you. There was a little bit of a Red Run reunion a couple weeks ago.
Yes. I know. I remember that. Yes.
And without Anthony Gary there because he was working, but the rest of the guys from Red Run, Anthony.
Well, that confuses shit out of me. Is Anthony really working or is he being a bum? He mentioned something on Facebook about not having a job, but he's been saying he's got a job. I'm completely confused about Anthony's status. Why I care, I'm not sure about.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know.
And, by the way, I'm going to get to see you next week, and if I'm not supposed to say anything about it.
You sure? Yes, sir, I am having a barbecue.
Okay.
I'm going to be talking to somebody tomorrow, Saturday. So I'm going to ask them to come on by if they'd like.
Okay.
But, I'm looking forward to it, man.
Do you have a guest list you can announce, or is it top secret?
It's not top secret, but, no, I can't do that.
All right.
I can't do that because this is a hard party to get into.
It was a select in the past. It's been select crowd, and I'm looking forward to it. My wife and I are excited to get together with you, and I'm always excited to see when I walk in the door who else will be there. I'm curious to see who makes the Jeff invite list. Now, will you be cooking, barbecuing like you did the last time? Will you be catering food?
My neighborhood down last time.
Will you be barbecuing? Or will you be catering it?
Yeah, no, we'll be being barbecued.
Okay.
There's a one day I'll tell you some good stories.
Okay.
Pertaining to the barbecue.
This barbecue.
This barbecue.
Okay.
Up, yes.
Oh, so the
but,
stories.
Everything is going to be cool. Everything is going to be okay.
I'm sure it will
That's
be.
All, I'm gonna say.
All right. Well, listen, I'm looking forward to it. My wife is looking forward to it, so we'll.
I'm glad because you know what? This whole summer went by pretty quick so far.
Yes.
Okay, we're in the middle of August.
Yes.
Already. Okay, two more weeks and the summer's pretty much over.
Yep.
You know, so the cool weather, this has to be, I would think, got to be the last few hot days.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I remember getting some really hot days in September, so we'll see. But, you know,
but
it is supposed to be much cooler next week.
By the time nighttime comes, it cools off.
Yeah.
I took the dog out not too long ago, and I opened up the door, and it was like walking into an oven. I'm
yeah.
like, holy shit, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Yep. But it's supposed to be a little chill, a little cooler out next week, so hopefully the weather's good. But either way, we'll be sure to see you guys next Saturday, so I thought I'd mention it. Guys, we'll be here next Thursday night, kind of doing our little thing before that. We have no guests in the near future. I have not booked anybody. I'm kind of just with football season coming, they got to be worthwhile. Otherwise, they got to stay out. People stay out of the way of the show. We got new segments. We got plenty to talk about. We're going to talk to a little bit. We'll do a little football for a little bit before we close it up. So, Jeff, switch on to your fake football analyst hat you usually put on.
Wow. I happen to have that right here.
Put on your fake football analyst hat. Okay, there it is. It's fake. Can't get any faking than that, folks.
Real, baby. You see the name across the
I will run through some stuff with you here. We're going to hold the Jets and the Giants to last, so I'll run through some.
You know, let me ask you something.
Sure.
Should I be wrong for getting the Jets, Yamaka?
I would say. Well, may do well with our friends out in the Gaza if you want to get a Jet, Yamaka. That would probably be okay.
I'm going to learn a couple of Yiddish words.
I got Jeff. Who's the starting quarterback in New Orleans?
Jameis Winston.
Jeff, who's the starting quarterback in Denver?
Drew Lock.
Oh.
Which, by the way,
yeah.
I feel so bad for Teddy Bridgewater.
why do you say that?
This guy had a career and a half going when he got injured.
Uh-huh.
Okay, then he fought to come back. And everybody was like, well, we don't know if he's ever going to play again, this, that, and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up, he's been in the league every year. He's been on a team every year. Every year he's come this close to start, and he goes to Carolina, and he just can't catch on. Now you go to Denver, where they took you because Drew Lock sucks.
Right.
Okay, and Drew Lock is getting ready to beat you out of the position at this point in time. And I just feel bad for Teddy Bridgewater. What would have happened if that guy didn't blow his knee out?
Very great question, Kent. We won't be able to answer. Hey, Jeff, it seems like Deshaun Watson's not going to be traveling with his team to the first preseason game. I don't think people are surprised by that. What do you think, either the NFL, I'm going to put it to the NFL. Why is the NFL waiting to suspend him? With everything that's going on, 11 people, there's court case, criminal cases, civil cases. Why hasn't the NFL suspended Deshaun Watson?
I don't know. That is a great question. You know, I guess they're going by you're innocent until you're found guilty.
You know, your boy,
the seriousness.
Your boy Andrew Cuomo was knocked out of the box for 7.
I understand that. Totally understand that. I guess they want to hear all of the evidence first. I guess, you know, they're going to let this play out. Let me ask you something. Who in their right mind would put him on the field right now anyway?
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you a magic question. I think that's a fair question, but let me reverse it and throw it back at you. Would it be smart for a team to trade for him right now, knowing that you can probably get him for dirt and stash him on your roster? Or is he too toxic and he would make your team bring out too much hate or protest to your team? Is it too risky to bring in a Deshaun Watson?
That's probably it right there. And why trade for him even if it was a seventh rounder when you could probably end up getting him for fucking nothing in a few weeks? Because let's face it, the only reason the Texans are holding on to him is because I think they have to save face because when they were like, we're not trading him, we're not trading him. But even now, there's got to be some people that are asking the question, why are we holding on to this man? Why are we holding on to him? What is it that he's, you know, doing for us?
Uh-huh.
Guy has 22, 23 people against him. What could be said?
No.
You know, which way is this going to go? You can't tell me that 22 women came and made this up. And even if he's found innocent.
Yep.
Unless he's found innocent on case number one
and
the other remaining 20-plus girls all back out and give stupid fucking reasons, and then the lawyer that's representing him vanishes.
Right.
You know, that the whole, everybody involved, like, you'd be like, holy shit, they were trying to set this guy up from the start.
Right.
You know, it just so happens that they all came together, but what are the chances of that happening? I don't see it.
None.
But to his credit, we also haven't heard any stories that, you know, he got caught trying to give money to somebody, or, you know, that they were contacting him, or he was contacting them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and he has said from day one that he's looking forward to clearing his name.
Problem is, he won't get to speak until February. He's being deposed in February. So
I understand that. He never once ever said that he's not, no comment, no this, no that. He's answered every question that he's had to answer, including, I'm looking forward to clearing my name. Now, a lot of those guys, I mean, come on, a lot of them are doing shit that they're not supposed to be doing, but 22 different women, I think that's a lot. I don't know about that.
I just find it weird to either suspend him or play him. But for him to be hanging out with the team in no man's land makes very little sense to me. You know, well,
that's the thing, no man's land. But look at Antonio Brown. With the shit that he did when he was with the, what was it, the Buccaneers?
Yeah.
Not the Bucs.
No, Patriots.
Patriots.
Yep.
And he had his issues going on.
Yep.
And somehow, some way, he made it through, and he ended up going and playing on a Super Bowl winner.
But you're talking about a guy who's a high-profile guy trying to get out of his team before. He's the quarterback of his team. You know, I think it's a little different than that, but understood. I got
Antonio
you.
Antonio Brown, wide receiver that was trying to go from team to team. He went from the Steelers to the Raiders to the Patriots to the Buccaneers, and in between he was beating up moving men and molesting chicks and sexually harassing girls. You're not going to get a more high-profile case than that. You know, these girls, they came out of the woodwork on Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
But every time they come out, Deshaun Watson wasn't like, you know, oh, there's a rumor that he's giving this girl $10 million or something like that.
No.
He's standing there waiting to defend his name. Unfortunately for him, it's taken until next year in 2022. But you know what? He's still young. If he manages to prove his innocence, then, you know, somebody's going to look stupid.
Yeah.
It's either going to be the Texans or it's going to be him. Somebody's going to look stupid because he's either going to prove his innocence or they're going to prove his guilt.
Yeah. Well, fair. Jeff, again, Hot Rocket Sports guys, Jeff and Tom, 7 to 9:30 every Thursday night. Make sure you come on back next week. We do it again. We got a few more minutes tonight. We'll get a little more football in. Might try a little more, one more music topic. We've been bouncing around all night here. The Yankees are down 5-3, two outs in the fourth. Runner on third base for the Chicago White Sox. Hey, Jeff. Okay. So, Jeff, you're the general manager of a football team. What's your philosophy on starting a rookie quarterback? Now, There's a lot of guys out there. Zach Wilson for your beloved New York Jets. Mac Jones goes into a place in New England where there's a veteran quarterback in front of him for a team that finished below 500 with a little more. I think we'd all think that maybe Mac Jones has a brighter future than Cam Newton. Now, Zach Wilson has got nobody to fight with. You know, the job is basically his, without a doubt. So, you know, Jeff, what's your philosophy? When is it wise to start the rookie quarterback regardless? And when is it best to sit him on the bench and let him learn?
Oh, God. Well, in the situation in the New York Jets or the New England Patriots, I would say start him almost immediately. Why not? You're a bad team. Get his growing pains out of the way. To see a way, let him get his feet wet, let him get acclimated to the game, and let him, you know, he's got nobody to learn from on these teams. Justin Fields in Chicago, that's a different situation. You have a quarterback that's in place that he could learn from a little bit, even if it's just a quarter of the season. I don't think there's going to be that much of a rush to get him involved.
Mm-hmm.
He could use the work. You know, they're not an awful team, Chicago. Didn't they make the playoffs last year?
I think they just missed making the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken. Right.
So,
but.
So they were almost in the playoffs. So, you know, the longer that he sits and waits, the more that he could sit and learn.
Right.
Trey Lance. You know, the 49ers are not supposed to be a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be a pretty decent team. They still have Garoppolo, who, you know, did go to the Super Bowl just a few years ago.
Sure did.
So what it would be the sense of rushing Trey Lance if he could learn for a little bit behind Garoppolo?
Okay.
It's not the worst thing in the world.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'm sure before the season's over, Trey Lance is going to be the starter in San Francisco. Fields will be starting in Chicago. And who knows if Wilson will still be starting for the Jets or if they're going to get a veteran to go into the season by his side.
Mm-hmm.
to be somebody to lean on, because now they don't have anybody to lean on.
Yeah.
So that's kind of...
Well, so I think the Jets situation, Jeff, is interesting because you can look at it two different ways. One, he's got a suspect offensive line, maybe decent receivers on a very bad team. Why bother? Or they're not expected to be good. Why not start him?
Well, I believe he's going to start.
I don't think there's any doubt in my mind he's going to start. Yeah.
And I think that it would be better for them to start him now to see a way he, you know, get all of that fucking stuff off your chest, off your back. Get in there, learn. Get in there and play.
Right.
Learn the games. You know, next year, if they get a few offensive line pieces, that offense isn't going to be bad. You know, then you're just going to work on the defense. I don't like the idea that Mosley lost 20 pounds and is going to be a 230-pound linebacker.
Yeah, we're going to bring that up to you. Yeah.
What's that?
I was going to bring that up to you in the in the next quick segment we're going to do on the Jets and the Giants. But go ahead. Finish it. Go for it.
I also don't like that, you know, that the Jets are notorious for not signing players to the second contract. It's almost like they just want to rent them. You're never going to get any place until you start retaining some of these players.
Yeah.
And he's hoping that they start realizing that and doing it soon so that they could build the team. Because if not, you know, you're going to have to catch lightning in a bottle, and it's not that easy.
No, it's not. It's not easy. And, you know, bring it up. Let's stay with the Jets and Zach Wilson a little bit. You know, it's been reported all week. You know, I'm sure you've read it. You've seen it. You know, he hasn't looked great in practices. First off, my first thought is this. Why is anybody keeping stats in a preseason practice? Like, do I really care that Zach Wilson went 5 for 11 for, you know, 38 yards in practice? I mean, does that – if I told you he went 9 for 9 for 80 yards and two TDs, would you care less or more? So, to me, I don't get that. I think it's –
good numbers sound better than bad numbers.
Of course, but numbers are numbers.
So you want to hear that he went 9 for 9 with two touchdown passes and a third one that grazed off of somebody's fingertips, but it was the receiver's fault, not his. He put every ball where it was supposed to be. They were all catchable because of of what he did, and a couple of them, the receiver just wasn't in the right position at the time.
Right.
So that's the stuff that you want to hear. You don't want to hear that this guy, was throwing the ball and he was 5 yards too short on most of his plays and erratic and everything else. You don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's practice. It's not game speed. They're not rushing him. So he should be 11 for 9. They should actually give him two extra passes that he completed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These guys shouldn't be going all out during practice because the game season's not even started yet.
Yeah, again, listen.
You're not going to win the AFC East in fucking August.
No.
Don't happen that way.
No, it doesn't. And again, I understand that results matter, especially in today's day and age where, social media, people are practicing, they're tweeting out and sending out messages on what the guys are doing. I think practice is more about watching a guy and think about it. Everything's controlled. You run the same play 5 times, so the defense knows what's coming. So of course it's not going to be good. They see you still run the same offense for 3 weeks. They know exactly what plays are coming. They know your tendency. They watch you every day. I don't buy into all that. Now, if I was the Jets, would I be concerned? Of course you want to be concerned that Zach Wilson is not playing well, but he's a rookie who's playing against guys who are better than him for the first time in a long time. And you won't know the outcome of this for 3 years. So to me, Zach Wilson is the barring injury, is the Jets quarterback for the next 3 seasons.
Of course.
I mean, it's ridiculous, but I get annoyed. I go through all of these different websites and newspapers and media reports, and they're giving me what the quarterback is, and he had 6 carries for 12 yards. Who cares? You're in T-shirts and shorts. Nobody's tackling the quarterback. Nobody's tackling the running backs.
It's just where you made initial contact after the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous stuff. But, listen, I won't get I don't get too excited about anything that happens in the preseason. Everything's is a control. Defense knows the plays. Guys are not running full speed. I don't care what anybody tells me in these practices. Guys, other than these free agent rookies, nobody's running full speed ahead out there. Everybody's worried about getting to game one healthy. So
yeah.
I'm not buying that. Yeah.
Everything, this is the template.
Yeah.
Okay, of what are you going to do with 3 preseason games and 17 games season during a pandemic?
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many questions to be answered in this season with the way things are going that it's unbelievable.
I agree. I agree. There's a lot to digest. But let's say now the last segment, we did the semi and not going to happen segment. I asked you at the Jet-Giant game. But if you were going to watch that, if let's say Saturday night you wind up home, it's bad weather outside, the missus says, hey, Jeffrey, let's stay home and snuggle on the couch and watch a great football team in the Giants practice against the Jets. If that was going to be the case and you were watching your boy Zach Wilson, forgetting about results, forgetting about, scores and touchdowns and winning games, what would you want Zach Wilson the very first time you got a chance to watch him to play that would make you go, I think he's going to be okay?
I don't know. Just throw the ball. Just play smart.
Okay.
Don't force throws. Don't force plays.
Okay.
If the play's not there, don't give the ball up. You're playing a sub team as it is.
Yeah.
In the New York Giants. Well, we agree with that.
Well, yeah, the Giants aren't playing any of their starters. No, they're playing nothing but undrafted or low probably ex-Jets. So,
they had any starters in the first place.
Yeah. So, I agree. The Jets have a half a chance to win the game if it matters. It don't matter to the Giants. We don't care.
It doesn't really matter. It's the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Doesn't really mean.
That's very true. So, again, I got a couple more things, and we might end this a little early tonight. Guys, I have had a long day, and it's going to be a long, quick night because I have an early start tomorrow. But Let's see. What do they want to get to off my list? They didn't get to. Jeff, no concern over the Dak Prescott fact that the guy showed up at the camp very early on, had some arm issues, hasn't thrown very much, and now is winding up with an MRI for his shoulder. No concern. As a football analyst, does that concern you that he hasn't thrown, he's been sidelined basically, and now he's getting an MRI, but most Cowboy fans say, no big deal?
It kind of affects me a little bit because here I am hoping that the Cowboys and Dak do better than the Giants.
Uh-huh.
And Saquon and Danny and Nate and Gettleman and Mr. Judge. So
uh-huh.
I'm hoping that, you know, Dak is the man and comes back and rebounds. That's what I'm hoping.
I hope they find that his arm is missing in the MRI, that he's completely lost.
Nice,
it.
Man.
Yeah,
it's not nice.
Yeah. So, but listen, I would be concerned if other Cowboys. We saw how they played last year with Andy Dalton as their backup. Now I think it's Ben DiNucci and somebody else. So no Zach, and there are zero wins for that team. They're not good defensively yet, and I'm not sure they're going to even be great offensively. But they have no shot without Dak Prescott. And I would be concerned that the guy hasn't been able to throw a football for a couple of weeks, and now all of a sudden getting MRIs on his shoulder. If you're a Cowboy fan and you're not concerned, you're not very bright. The handwriting's on the wall.
Measures, first of all.
Huh?
Just precautionary measures.
Yeah, good luck with that. Precautionary measures. Last thing for me, Jeff. Alabama is number one again. With the same cast of characters, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Browns up to number four. Jeff, it seems like every year it's the same three or four teams. You know, you could stick Georgia in there. You could stick Notre Dame in there. It's the same teams. And I don't know, is it boring? How does, you know, in the pros, they've done everything to make it parity. You know, they have salary caps. We have free agency. Everybody can bid on players. We have all sorts of things to keep it simple and balanced in the pros. But, Jeff, how do you fix it in the college ranks? How do we make the colleges where, you know, some of these other schools have a chance? Because right now, every kid's saying Alabama's every year, Clemson's every year. I'm going to go to that school. How do we make it so college football has a more diversity in their playoff system?
Maybe they could get more teams involved.
How? And, That's the question. How do we get more teams involved? Well, you're trying to go to they're going to go to 12 teams.
Instead of maybe do almost like a March Madness type of thing and have a tournament. And, you know, if you lose, you're out. And try to work it that way somehow, some way. You know, there's countless number of football teams. Maybe you don't have to take Eastern, Midwestern, Arkansas, you know, just because you need teams. But, you know, you never hear of USC or UCLA in the mix of all of this stuff.
Nope.
Maybe there's too many bowl games. You never hear any of the Ivy League teams getting involved in this.
Not a long time.
You know, and maybe what you need to do is reach out and grab some of these teams. And, you know, what could it hurt? What are you going to see? Not see Clemson play again this year or Alabama not play? You know, whatever. They got to figure something out.
Yeah, it just, you know, it just seems that you're riding the top four teams, five teams, six teams, all being the same group, and I don't know how you fix it, you know, because most of the stellar athlete wanted to go to those schools now because they're always, always in the playoffs. They are going to expand the playoffs, I think, to either 8 or 12 teams in a couple of years, which I am not a big fan of.
I mean, like you said, there always seems to be Clemson and Alabama and Ohio State.
Yep. And then,
you know, like there's always teams that are good, but they just never seem to be in that mix.
Yeah.
I don't, you know enough about college football to say they should do this or do that. I do know that when I watch college football that, you know, games start on Thursday. You got games Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You got replays on Sunday.
Yeah.
You're talking games sometimes all day long on Saturday. You could just go round robin through the channels.
Oh, yeah.
And watch college football all day long.
You watch college football from noon until about 1 o'clock in the morning. Because the late game
and
starts at 10.
You're talking more than one channel. When we were it used to be what? Keith Jackson on Channel 7 all day.
Yep.
There'd be an afternoon game, and then there'd be a late afternoon, early evening game that would be over by 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, now you can put on ESPN2 and watch football all day. ABC has football games all day. Channel 2 has games. Channel 4 has games. So, yeah, there's no shortage of college games. I would tell you could probably catch between the cable stations and the regular stations 14, 15 games in a day. If you wanted to flip back and forth.
I would think even more than that.
Maybe. Maybe. You might be right.
How many ESPNs is there that fucking show?
Listen, I watch a lot of it. I love watching college football. I'm not a big fan of the adding to the playoff system, but, you know, I know that what they're trying to do, and they want to get more teams involved, and we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, to me, it's not like the NFL. You know, normally whoever wins in the regular season, they're going to be the tough teams. Teams don't fall apart like they do in the pros. It just doesn't happen for some reason. And there is a big difference off the top five. After that, there is a major drop-off. But we'll see. Like I said, I'm looking forward to a couple of weeks. We'll get the first NFL game.
First college game. 2 or 3 weeks.
I would say Labor Day weekend. You'll see your first college games, yeah?
Is that going to start on a Saturday or is it going to start on a Thursday?
Good question. That's a very good question. I don't know if they have a weeknight game. It's usually early in the year. It's a good question. I would say Saturday is going to be the opening.
I mean, usually the weekly games, the weeknight games, when they have them, are these smaller colleges there. You know, you see sign the cafeteria that way.
Yeah, you get a lot of, like, Boise State, Idaho State. You get a lot of those. Yeah. I enjoy, like I said, I can watch them all. I enjoy a good college game any day of the week.
Well, I noticed the more obscure college teams, when you watch them, these are the kids that, like, still have pimples and use Clearasil and still have braces.
Yeah.
As opposed to Notre Dame, where there's, like, a 300-pound offensive lineman, you know what I mean? Like, you see the difference in the quality.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, there's a big difference. Yeah. Big difference.
Division 7 schools, you know, the left tackle weighs 215 pounds, and, you know, he fucking left high school in sophomore year to go to college.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to some of these guys that just filled out like a motherfucker.
Yep. Nope. Listen. No doubt about it, guys. We're gonna break it down real quick, but I want just a couple of things about the Jets. While I know Zach Wilson hasn't been great, they've had Mims has had a decent camp. I know he's still struggling off of food poisoning. There's all sorts of things coming out that Carl Lawson's been really good. Unstoppable has been the word I've seen. But I don't know if that means that the Jets' offensive line is bad or not. I'm curious to see this new offensive line with Moses Morgan and Elijah Vera Tucker and of course, Mekhi Becton. So there's a lot of good stuff. I'm looking forward to Saturday. I will be watching the Jets. I will be taking notes. I will be texting Jeff. The Giants, on the other hand, I'm not going to see any of the starters. So I'll be looking for some rookies or undrafted free agents or somebody, guys, or some veteran guys. We're trying to make the team, so I'm going to be watching all of that. This is a big year for the Giants. This is a big games for the Giants. Offensive line still trying to come together. Barkley, Jeff's brought it up on Giant Barkley, trying to work his way back from a couple years of injuries. And the biggest thing for me is watching the quarterback. He won't be playing in this game, but Danny Dimes needs a big year. He doesn't have to be great. He just has to be good. Has to be good. And this will be okay, Jeff. It's just... It can't be so-so. It can't be bad.
We will see, Thomas. Yep. We will see.
Yep. We will certainly see in a few weeks. Again, guys, September 9th, Jeff and I will do our NFL season show. We'll talk about the games. Well, I think every week we're going to pick two or three games. I think we should do it this year. We didn't do it last year. I want to do it this year. We'll start out with $100 each. And we're going to bet games each week. And the guy who winds up with more money at the end of this wins, and we'll come up with something to bet, whether it's a dinner.
We tried doing it last year, and then you were losing.
First off, I was never losing. Second of all, we weren't doing it in a betting format. So this year we're going to do it a bet.
I remember it differently.
Yeah, I'm surprised. No, this year it'll be, we start out with $100, and we will pick a game or two each week. You have to pick at least one, no more than two. You make a bet, and straight up bets, no parlays, no nothing. You will bet based on the point spread in the New York Post, and see who wins the most money at the end of the year.
But I will only do it under one condition.
Oh boy, here we go.
We have to name our team.
Okay, I will name my team. It's no problem. You
no,
keep naming your team.
No. You will name my team, and I will name your team.
That's a dangerous thing. I'm not sure I'm agreeing to that. But we'll have some fun. We'll often talk about that one. We'll see if anybody else wants to get involved. We'll see how that goes. But we'll do that then. September, like I said, September 9th will be the very first show. And again, guys, stick around for the
Nazir?
Show.
Huh? Where is Nazir?
I've not heard from Nazir other than his text or his Facebook post asking us about the Shoeless Joe Jackson. So I've not heard from Nazir at all. So we'll see where he winds up. But yes, he is shameless. And so guys, yeah, that's it. We're going to wrap this show up tonight a little early. We both are a little on the tired side. I hope you guys are going to go watch the Field of Dreams game. Jeff, yes, I do recommend you go watch the pregame show for Fox. Find it on YouTube. You might even be able to go to ESPN and see it. I'm sure they'll be showing it everywhere. It looked pretty cool. I'm going to go do it myself. I DVR'd it. We'll be back, Jeff and I, next Thursday night. This weekend is seems like a bust this weekend. It's supposed to be some heavy rain on Saturday. Did I get that right?
I do not know.
Okay.
I do not.
Any plans for you and the missus over the weekend?
Yeah, we have a party to go to on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And, Sunday I have to work.
Uh-huh.
Sunday is an overtime day, so I'm hoping that there's no rain for that.
Okay.
Or else then the overtime is canceled.
Ah, really?
Yeah. And then I'm hoping to get my brush guard put on my truck soon.
Okay.
That'll be nice.
All right. That's it.
Other than that,
that's a little bottle of cold water. Yeah, a little cold water I just finished up. So, but again, guys, I'm going to be hanging around the house. Giants, the Yankees just hit another homer. Brett Gardner hit his fifth of the season. An opposite field shot to right field. So Yankees back to seven, down only 7-4 now, top of the sixth inning, nobody out. So I will be catching a little bit of this game. I'm going to go back and rewind and start from the beginning. And catch the Kevin Costner Open. So if you get a chance, watch a little Field of Dreams, play a little catch with your dad, your son. Enjoy your weekends, guys. There's a lot to. Hopefully the weather's nice. It's supposed to be nice and cool next week. So hopefully you guys won't be as oppressed by the heat as we were this week. Hefe, anything on your end you want to end with? Anything you want to announce? Anything you want to?
By next week, maybe I'll give you my review on the Pfizer shot. Who the fuck knows?
Oh, you never know. Yep, I'm 3 weeks from my next shot. I'll keep everybody updated. Will Cloak, I don't know why was proud to say, but I'm glad you got the shingles vaccine. I don't know why they made you get one, but I'm sorry that they did. No problem. That's it, guys. I don't know what else to say tonight. I hope you guys watch the Yankees. You got big football this weekend. Looking forward to Yankees and Jets, and I will be putting a bet in. I won some money last night on DraftKings. I am a few $100 richer, so I will be taking some of that money and putting it on maybe a preseason game to have some fun to watch. So it's pretty pathetic when you're betting preseason football, but what the hell? What the hell? Got to have some fun. But that's it, guys. So, again, guys, we'll be back next Thursday night. Jeff and I hanging out, doing it all over again. I look forward to this every week, and I am looking forward to doing it again next week, and I hope you guys come back and chill with us again. So for Jeff Tolwinski, myself, and everybody here at the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, I say thank you. Have a great night, a great weekend, and a spectacular week, and we'll see you next Thursday night right here back here on the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. Hefe, have a good one. I will talk to you. Have a good weekend and enjoy yourself. And tell your wife I said hello, and I'll see you. I'll talk to you off the air.
All right, dude. I'll see you soon, man.
And make sure you call me. I want to get a little more of a scoop on the party and some of the other things. Oh, you left already, Jeff. All right, so that's it. So, guys, Have a nice night and a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Good night.